Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, hey, I listen to Tip Tap Tip all the time. I'm their number one fucking fan. And this isn't how a show starts. And you're right, it isn't. This is kind of a preambling. You know what's going on. We got, if you haven't heard the announcement, I don't know how you haven't. We've only been talking about it for like forever. Call yourself a fucking fan. But Rochelle and I are taking a break. Pregnancy happened, babies got to take care of. Who knew? Long story short, we lined up some great guest hosts who are going to be help filling in during our time when we're figuring all sorts of stuff out, like changing a diaper, feeding the baby, figuring out what that crying means, etc., etc. We will be back soon, but in the meantime, enjoy these guest-hosted shows of Tip Tap Tip. Thanks. Bye.
That was a little bit exciting there. I kept all of a sudden right out of the middle of nowhere. I had this huge windstorm and piss pouring rain, and I had to start looking around in my mirrors to see if there was a damn tornado sneaking up on me or something going through Minnesota. What in the fuck, over? So that's why I threw in that little gem there by America. I've always liked that one. It's not a fast rocking tune, but it just seemed fitting that. You know, running from a hurricane just because it came up on me pretty quick there. All right, so anyway, to get back to the story, I go up in front of the crew first thing in the morning. I tell them, I said, look, you guys all sign this harassment policy. This is no foolish. You don't be calling people communists. And then I get into it and I say, look, if you look at the world today, every single political party that's ever been in existence is in power somewhere today. And they've put this world into the global shithouse, the economic shithouse. So for you to stand there and tell me your political party is better than mine, go fuck yourself. And if I want to stand here and tell you that my political party is better than yours, I'm going to go fuck myself. So this is the last I heard. If you guys want to get out there and you got time to be talking politics, then you're not working hard enough. Knock it off, get to work, and call it quits. The next person who does this or starts pissing them on about this stuff in line is going to find himself discussing it with the bus drivers or riding home on the Greyhound. And that's pretty much it. So, and I actually used that. That was the exact words I used. Was like, you'll find yourself on the fucking bus. And when I got my review then for the spring and the winter season, and I came back on my review was sitting on the desk there. It actually said, Shane, you know, knows his task at hand. He deals well with the crew, and he actually walks the walk. I thought that was kind of cute that it said that on my my performance review, that I walked the walk. Like, what the hell? Who says that, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense, but part of the reason was, I think it was because I actually use that sort of language out in the field, and I tell them straight out that if you don't start fucking around, I'm going to send you the fuck home because I'm just not going to deal with you. And I have done it. And sometimes it's when you get to a crew, you find that piece of cancer and you just cut it out right away. And so everybody gets the message then that, like, I'm not here to dick around. We got a job to do. It needs to get done. And if you're going to be dicking around and horseplaying and fighting and arguing out on the crew, that I'm just going to send you the fuck home because you don't get along well with others. So now another rocking tune then to politics. Well, the only one I can really think of right now is Civil War by Guns N' Roses, but that one's a little bit slower as well and super long. But Guns N' Roses is another favorite band of mine too, so I'll just play my favorite all-time tune. Let's go Rocket Queen by Guns N' Roses. Well, good morning, everyone. This is day 3 of my 3-day journey across the United States from Calgary down to Pennsylvania. Everything's going pretty smoothly. Of course, I had 8 hours sleep last night. I hope you guys just blinked a little bit in between segments or enjoyed that last song and didn't nap too much. And I hope you're enjoying the program so far. I'd just like to make a note about taking this I-90 and I-80 across the United States. Heading east out of Calgary, if anybody has ever driven across that way and gone down to Regina, say, or even further east to Toronto and gone through the prairies, I've driven that route a number of times, worked out there quite a bit, and it's very gray, very brown. Coming further south and taking this easterly route through I-90 there, everything is lush and green. It's a sort of the same, very much the same landscape, very flat, very mild hills, you know, down through Montana and a few other places there to start was, you know, softer hills, things like that. But once you hit the Great Plains, man, it went on forever. But it wasn't a boring trip at all. It was just, you know, I think the difference between Canada and the U.S. there for that regard is just the vibrant colors down this way. But man, those Great Plains, man, they stretch on forever. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I know going further north up through Alberta, I mean, the plains just go all the way up north, and then I'm south down here. I mean, that's a huge plot of land that's just flat and soft rolling, you know, but very pretty and very scenic. That being said, though, as soon as I got up this morning and took off, last night coming into La Crosse, right onto the Wisconsin border, all of a sudden the planes just ended. It was like falling off the end of the earth. You came up to a sign that said, "Trucks beware, there's hills coming up." And boom, down you went into the river valley. And man, guess what river you crossed? You crossed the Mississippi. The Great Mississippi River. And sure enough, I look out over the water. And then what are you doing when you're crossing like a single lane highway bridge? There's the riverboat just putting its way down the river. I didn't have I couldn't stop anywhere. Couldn't grab my camera. I missed that little snap for you guys. But what a sight. I tell you what. All those childhood memories of building our own rafts and things like that back home. And Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and Pollyanna and Pippi Longstockings and all those old stories from my childhood just came flushing back. It was just wow. And I'm kind of disappointed I couldn't grab a camera and take a quick snap. But that being said, made me think of another tune. So another song back from when I was growing up that we all listened to. Try this one on for size here. David Wilcox and Riverboat Fantasy.
Sitting on a riverboat, having a party, me and my Cajun queen. She's turning 21 on the Mississippi River, heading out of New Orleans. The year is 1894. Oh, come on, mama, and love me some more. Her dark eyes flash like a gambler's rings. She shakes her pretty head and sings. Life for me is a riverboat fantasy, watching the sun go down. A rock and roll band with a reefer in my hand. Now look at that wheel go around. Cocaine kisses and moonshine misses. That's the life for me. I'm sailing away from my heartache on a riverboat fantasy. Can't think, can't drink any more whiskey. I could have drunk a river dry. This old boat, she's just shimmer, glimmer. I think I'm gonna fall. What? Catch me, mama, that's all. Life for me is a riverboat fantasy, watching the sun go down. A rock and roll band with a reefer in my hand. Now look at that wheel go around. Cocaine kisses and moonshine misses. That's the life for me. I'm sailing away from my heartache on a riverboat fantasy. Delta sun beats down like a hammer. It gives the lowdown blue. I've got a cotton gin, a weave and spin, and shake the dust from my shoes. I made my money, I found me a honey to tickle me under my chin. When morning comes, I ride into town and worry about the shape I'm in. Life for me is a riverboat fantasy, watching the sun go down. A rock and roll band with a reefer in my hand. Now look at that wheel go around. Cocaine kisses and moonshine misses. That's the life for me. Yes, it is. I'm sailing away from my heartache on a riverboat fantasy.
Okay, so that was Riverboat Fantasy by David Wilcox. Just a nice little tune, brings a smile to my face. I remember as a kid, like right around 17 when I first got my driver's license, over that summer and that year, there was a bit of a rehash of some older bands. Can't remember the record label now that put them out, but there was this, there was a re-release of the Beatles. And then there was David Wilcox, there was Lynyrd Skynyrd, there was a few other ones in there. They were these blue cassettes with a gray background, just a very basic cover and release of the album. And David Wilcox, of course, was one that kind of got passed around by me and my friends. So he was an artist that I'd picked up as... Not necessarily as one of my favorites, but it was just something wild. I mean, this is a pretty neat tune. We like that one. Bad Apple, Laying Pipe, things like that. Just fun, upbeat tracks that that brought a smile and got you going during the day. And if you guys have never had a chance to look them up or listen to them, it's blues, primarily blues bass, rockabilly a little bit if you want to call it. Just a good little track. If you've never heard of him, definitely check him out and see what he's all about, because it's pretty neat, I find. Just listening to the news here. Barack Obama's in the news again here because of the upcoming election, of course, and me being a conspiracy nut and always a fan for a great conspiracy, he's in the news right now because for two reasons. One reason is that... The two biographies that are currently out right now on him, two autobiographies, supposedly, one weren't written by him, so to make some biographies as opposed to autobiographies, which they're labeled, and two contain stories that aren't about him. They're fictional stories, or they're actual stories about other people that were used to beef up this autobiography. And so everybody, you know, in the conspiracy world and these side-wing radio stations and radio programs that kind of pick up on this stuff are like, why is this guy lying to us constantly? You know, like, he hasn't been truthful. And why would you do something like this? Why would you call it an autobiography if somebody else did it? And then why would you beef it up with stories that are claimed now to be yours, but are actually about somebody else? Like, what is this guy hiding?
And, of course, because of that now, this whole conspiracy about whether or not he was actually born in America and eligible to be president of the United States is being rehashed again, because that was the big topic in the first election. And somebody brought up a point that that the reason maybe that this is there is that because, okay, look, he is an American citizen, right? He was born in Hawaii. But why is this African citizenship such an issue? Well, the reason it is, that this one guy brought up, and it's actually maybe surprising, it has some validity or some plausibility to it, is that because his mother is Kenyan, when he went to university, he may have used that citizenship to declare some sort of African status to become eligible for bursaries and grants from the government and sponsorships to become an African student, say, and be eligible for financing to go to school and get his university degree. So when you go back and look at his university degree, which apparently now has become extremely hard to track down, so nobody can actually verify or, you know, or deny any of these allegations, has become very hard to find. So that it's like, well, why is it? I mean, you're a public figure, you should be pretty transparent. Why is it extremely difficult now to get any sort of information on what this guy did prior to becoming president of the United States? Like, all of his background seems to be shrouded in mystery. But, I mean, of course, if that's the case, you're an American citizen, but you declared some sort of African status to get your education, even though you have made it on your own since then. I mean, that's a little bit of a shady thing to do to get your education. Depending on how poor you are or how stretched your finances might be, you know, and depending on what you do right now, people might look the other way and say, no, you know what, he was dirt poor and he had to get a chance to get his education, so he went this route. Can you blame the guy, right? You know, and you'd look the other way. But because you're a politician, you're supposed to be telling the truth. You're supposed to be upfront and honest with everybody, because that's what we expect of you. If you're not doing that, then I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Could this damage his, you know, bid for a second term? Yeah, sure, maybe. I don't know. I kind of suspected that he might be a one-termer anyway, because he's been pretty much a mediocre president as far as I could tell. And to go from there, you're going to have to do something pretty spectacular to get into office again. The other story now, of course, that's out is that he has come out publicly and said he's in support of gay and lesbian marriage. Which is, of course, you know, split the divides pretty much straight down the center, because, I mean, all the religious groups down here are, well, there's no way you can do that. And then, of course, all of the public figures that are for gay marriage are, hey, good for you, finally. Somebody has come out that's, you know, pretty high up in the public office and said, you know, it's about time that we stop getting stop denying these rights, because, you know, if two people love each other, let them go. Why, with all the destruction and war and hate that's already in this world, why would you create more when somebody, against somebody's actual love for one another? You know, if you're going to go declare a war on a love, then get to the back of the line there, because you're not part of what I'm looking for here. And so that's two big stories now that are in the news right now. It's bringing me up then think about you know, the honesty that you're looking for in your politicians. I remember Kat came to the door. Of course, they all did in this recent Alberta election, and basically, you know, they say, hey, I'm so and so. I'm running for this party, that party. I'm wondering, you know, can I count on your vote? And of course, I got a chance to talk to him, not extensively, but just briefly. And one of the guys that came to the door, of course, was the Wild Rose Party member. I can't remember his name here right now, but the big topic in the news for us at the time was just conscious rights. And conscious rights essentially is, you know, as an individual, if I feel that something's wrong or something goes against my moral level or my moral meter, then I can say, no, I don't want to do this. How it relates then to the public servants is that, for example, if a gay or lesbian couple come up to the wicket down at the local courthouse and they say, we need to get a marriage license, and the guy says, well, no, that goes against everything in my moral fiber, I can say, no, it goes against my conscience, so I'm going to state conscious rights here and not give you a marriage license. And this was sort of kicking around with the Wild Rose Party as, or maybe, you know, of a possible way to go and allow conscious rights for public servants. No, forget it. No. Public servants, you're there to serve the public. If you don't like what it is you're doing, go get another goddamn job. Well, hey, that's highly unlikely, because everybody who goes to work for a government agency, whether it be federal, provincial, or, you know, even municipal, like the city of Calgary, all of a sudden they got unions, they got this, they got benefits, they got everything like that. They're not going to give up these high-paying, high-benefit jobs because, you know, it's a lazier aspect of work. I'm sorry, I'm going to call you guys out on this one. How many times have you gone down to one of the public servant offices, and, you know, they've got 10 wickets in front of you, but only one are open, or two, and then there's 5 or 10 people in behind milling about because, well, they get 3 15-minute breaks a day, and they get an hour for lunch, and they get this and that, and it's like, oh no, that's guaranteed by the union. Well, you know what? And I hate unions too. Don't get me riled up on that. And when I say you, I mean me, because I'm monologuing here, but. This guy came to my door and said, yeah, like, I'm so-and-so and I'm running for the Wild Rose Party. Can I count on your vote? And I had him now. I had him cornered. I said, hey, well, okay, what's the deal on his conscious rights? And he was, well, what do you mean? Well, what's the deal on it? Like, I mean, are you guys going to initiate this conscious rights? Well, you know, this is just a scare tactic dreamed up by the Liberal government and the PC government to kind of throw people off a track. Okay, I said, well, here's a straight-up question for you then. If I vote you in the office, are you going to vote to put conscious rights into effect? Because, no, as a fact, public servants are there to serve the public no matter who shows up at their window, whether they be black, blue, green, yellow, Muhammad or Ikmail or Hindu or whatever, or Scientology. You know, they come to you for a service, and you as a public servant are required to provide that service regardless of how you feel. So are you going to initiate this? And, you know, I looked him square in the face, and he's like, no, we're not going to do that. And I said, well, okay, fine. Then, yes, I can consider you as a possible place to strike my vote. And then it got me to thinking that, you know what, maybe, you know, when we talked about it yesterday and the public figures that, like, you know, they seem to lie and cheat and fake their way in all kinds of positions, and then they take bribes and they do this. There's no accountability. There is no punishment. So, like, okay, so the federal government says, yeah, so, yeah, we did take extra money and we cheated by doing this on our last federal election by disobeying the election laws. Oh, well. And, you know, the Manitoba government. Oh, yeah, so we were taking tickets from people to go see the Jets games. It's an impropriety, but oh, well. So I was actually thinking that, you know what, deal could you strike up with your local MP to say, like, you know, you're going to be standing accountable. I don't care if you stand accountable to everybody else, but you're going to stand accountable to me. And when I strictly asked this guy, I was thinking to myself afterwards, I should have gave him the deal. It's like, okay, you know what? You want my vote? Here's what I want this particular election. I mean, it's a public topic, and if you guys say you're going to do something, but then you don't do it, I'm on board. Like, I want this. I do not want conscious rights to be enabled or set into motion for public servants. They should not have that right. I'm sorry. You're there to serve the public. Now, you say you're not going to do it. Is that the case? Shake my hand. Okay, good enough. I tell you what, I will vote for you. But if I find out down the road that you did vote to put conscious rights in a position, I'm going to come and punch you in the face. Do we have a deal? My vote, you do this, I punch you in the face. You know, at least then there is some tangible consequence to veering off the straight and narrow path. And you know what? I might actually put it out there so that the next time that somebody comes and knocks on my door, it's like, I tell you what, I will vote for you. But if I find out that you took a bribe, or that if you had some backroom dealings and thing, here's my contract, written, signed letter to Dear Mr. Harper. You know, he's my member of parliament in my riding. Dear Mr. Harper, it's a good thing that you happen to be the Prime Minister of Canada here. Dear sir, I'm going to vote for you this particular election. If I find out ever in the future that you have taken a bribe, done this or this and this, I'm going to come and punch you in the face. That's my deal with you. Whether you accept it or not, I probably would get the old CSIS knocking on the door for that one. But, you know, if somebody happened to come to my door and said, hey, can I count on your vote? You know what? Yes. But here's the deal. If I find out that you ever take tickets to go see a concert or whatever, you know, as these underground backroom dealings or kickbacks or anything like that, I want you to be top-notch. And if you want my vote and you say yes, then here, we shake hands on it right now. And if you break that deal, then I'm going to come punch you in the face. As it sits right now, everybody that's kind of in this political aspect, they can go to the back of the line. And speaking of which, that'll bring me to the to our next song here.
Something
Okay, that was Dio and the Last in Line. Great little track, nice solid beat, little heavier, and just a great track to help put miles underneath you, like we were talking about so far on this whole episode. And as well, here I am. I've made it to Pennsylvania. It's very lush, very hilly, real pretty backcountry roads. It's 30 degrees, so it's hot as hell here right now. I'm going to sweat my ass off over the next few days, but I've made it. The road trip's over. We've successfully accomplished our mission. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to it. I hope my diatribe wasn't too boring and you enjoyed the episode as much as I have. You know, it's always a privilege to be a guest on Tip Tap Tip, and it was an extreme privilege to be asked to do in an episode completely. I hope Eric is pleased with what I've put together. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. Like, I mean, I hope the songs that I picked out may have piqued your interest to look up certain groups that I really enjoy, and maybe prompted you to look back through a little memory lane as well and look up some artists that you haven't listened to in ages and maybe dial them up and give them a rehash just to see if it stands up from what you remember. So I'm all finished. Again, thank everybody for tuning in. If you got any comments, I'm sure Eric will probably put in a little quip of his own here at the end of this recording and give you the tiptaptip.com, the phone number. I'm not sure what it is, but he'll add all of that at the end of the show. And for regular listeners, you know where to look. Of course, for you ladies out there, 403-701-2213. That's my number. You can call me anytime. Just a note too, that as this is a recording that's going to be played in June when Eric and Rochelle are busy tending to the little one, I'm sort of speaking into the future. That could be a little profound for a reprobate like myself. So what do you say to the future usses? Well, a couple of things come to mind. Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. And if you don't get that reference, too bad for you. And if you do, you know what? It might be a good opportunity for the next edition of Win a Date with Shane. If you can get the answer to that, where that reference comes from, contact Tip Tap Tip. We'll put you into a draw, and you can win dinner and a night out of town with this guy. It's a good time, so send in your answers. And as well, just because I am speaking to the future us, I think I'll go with the final song from that movie as well and end off this tour with God Gave Rock and Roll to You by Kiss. Thanks again for everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I've enjoyed getting it ready for you. And I will see all of you in a month or so. So long.
Tip Tip and its affiliates do not agree or promote any of the opinions expressed on Tip Tap Tip by any of its guest hosts, especially Shane Scott.